Welcome in everybody to the iPhone Users Group on VIP Conduit. Today is April 16th, 2025. And as I said in my blurb today, Mar is going to be telling us an experience she has or about the services tab on the Be My Eyes app. So without further ado, take it away, Mar.
Hey, everybody. I am going to do a demonstration of how to use the service tab in the Be My Eyes iPhone app. So first of all, I'm going to ask Siri to open Be My Eyes. Hey, Siri, launch Be My Eyes.
Starting camera.
Right now I'm in the AI tab, so I'm going to go to
tab bar, selected, Be My AI, tab, service directory.
Service directory tab. Okay, in here there are a lot of different categories. Towards the top of your screen you will find a search field in which you can search for what you want. But since I am not familiar with all the categories, we're going to explore them.
Food and beverage, search, search field. Assistive technology, button.
Okay, so assistive technology, let's see what's under there.
AT guys, button. Adaptation store, lighthouse for the blind and visually impaired, closed, button. Assistive technology industry association, button. Blind mice mega mall, button. Bookshare, button. Computers for the blind, button. Dolphin Computer Access, button, and Vision America, Script Talk, button. Freedom Scientific, button. Get Braille, button. HIMS Inc., button. Humanware US, button. IDUG Today, button.
So there are a lot of different places. I'm not going to go through all of them. But as you can tell, JAWS is in there. Let's see if NVDA is in there.
JAWS, button.
Well, there's JAWS.
LS and S, Level Access, button, Maxi Eats, button, Numit Solutions, button, The Chicago Lighthouse, My Tools for Living Store, open, button.
Nope, NVDA is not in there.
Get Rail, back button.
So now we're going to go back and explore another category.
Assistive Technology, button, Banking, button.
Banking. Let's see what's in there.
American Express, button, Bank of America, Barclays Bank, SIBC, button, Capital One, button. Chase, button.
My bank is in there. That's cool.
Citigroup, button.
So that's how you do that. And in order to get back to the main menu, of course, you just press the back button, which is located in the upper left-hand corner of your screen.
American Express, back button. Banking, button.
There. Now, I'm going to go through the rest of these categories just so you can hear them.
Beauty and grooming, button. Blindness organizations, button. Careers, button. Civic engagement, button. Food and beverage, button.
Let's see what's in there, just for the fun of it. We all like to eat.
Barilla, open, button. Costco, button. Daily Harvest, button. DoorDash accessibility number, button.
I didn't know DoorDash had an accessibility number, did you? So that might be kind of an interesting thing to explore if a person has trouble with DoorDash, which I have.
DoorDash customer support, button.
I don't know what the difference is.
Fresh Direct, button. Fresh Time Market, button. Instapot, button. Instacart, button.
Instacart?
Kroger, button. McDonald's, button. Safeway, button. Starbucks, button. The Hershey Company, button. Trader Joe's Company, button. Uber Eats, button. Vitamix, button. Tab Bar, get support.
There's a lot of stuff in there. Now, I've never tried calling any of these.
Food and beverage, button. Games and toys, button.
I don't know what would be in there either.
Home and cleaning, button. Hotels, button. Online shopping, button. Other, button. Personal health, button. Technical, button. Travel and transportation, button. Scan accessible QR code, button. Tab bar, get support, tab. Scan accept travel, technical, button.
Okay, technical then is where you would find the Microsoft number.
AT&T, button.
So there's AT&T.
Adobe, button. Amazon US, button. Apple, button. Be My Eyes, closed, button. Boost Mobile, button. Brother customer support, button. Comcast/Xfinity, button. Computers for the blind, button. Dish Network, button. Data conversion laboratory, Dell, button. DirecTV, button. DocuSign, Epson, button. Garmin, button. Google, open, button. HP, button. Hulu customer service, button. IBM, button. Intuit, button. LG Electronics, button. Lenovo, button.
There's a lot in here.
LinkedIn, open. Microsoft, open.
Button. There's Microsoft. And of course, if you wanted to call them, then you would just double tap on Microsoft. And I think it has an AI. Let's look again.
Microsoft. Partner. The Microsoft Disability Answer Desk is where customers with disabilities get support with Microsoft Office and Windows. Open. Info. Button. Opening hours. Button. Supported languages. English. Add to favorites. Button. Contact Microsoft. Button.
So there's an actual, you have to scroll through some of these options to contact Microsoft. I was doing a little bit of fiddling around there that I have deleted, but I have discovered that you have to be on the Contact Microsoft button to get into the AI feature. So let's do that.
Contact Microsoft button. In progress.
Oh.
Please wait. Be My AI. Be My AI. Welcome to the Be My AI. Welcome to the Microsoft Disability Answer Desk. This is Be My AI from Microsoft. How can I help you today? We can try some basic troubleshooting steps. You can add a picture of your device to show the technical issue and also describe what you are trying to accomplish. If we can't arrive at a solution, then you can use the Call Microsoft button to contact the Microsoft Disability Answer Desk during opening hours of Monday through Friday from 5 a.m. to 9 p.m., Saturday and Sunday from 6 a.m. to 5 p.m. PST.
So there's all that information. So yeah, it does open up with Be My AI. So I have used that to actually check and see like if a monitor is working or something like that. And it's pretty intuitive, really. And I have found that the people that work for the Be My Eyes portion of Microsoft, for the most part, are a little more tech savvy or something than the ones that you get when you call them on the telephone line. And I don't know if they have different people working for the different sides of it or how that works, but for the most part, I've had better luck with the phone thing. Of course, the neat thing about the iPhone is that you can actually have them look at the screen, even if you are not able to connect, and they can help you a lot of times get to where they can connect to your computer if they need to. So hopefully this has been helpful. And of course, I just press app switcher now to close out the app. And I've got the 2020, so I don't have the app switcher gestures. I use my home button.
Be My Eyes. Close. Button. Screen curtain on. App switcher. Be My Eyes. Active. Closing.
And there you have it.
Wow, that was impressive. You know, I don't know, for some reason I have never gone into that services tab, but there were things in there. It's like, okay, wow, that was pretty informative, Mar. Thank you so much. Anybody have any questions about that?
Not a question, but I'm like you, Cheryl. I always see that, but I have never gone into that. Had no idea that's what I would find.
I just make a comment. The other day, I had to get a new bottle of medication, and I wasn't 100% sure what it was. So I set the box out on the counter, used Be My Eyes, the AI feature, took a picture of it. It read me all the information what the name of the medication was, told me the dosage, and even told me the flavor of the pill. I was quite impressed.
Wow, that is pretty cool. Not a question, but I did use the services for Microsoft a while ago. Wow, they put a whole lot more categories in there. But I had a great experience with Microsoft as well. I was having trouble installing iTunes because for whatever reason, I went online, it because you can't install iTunes anymore online. You have to use the Microsoft Store. And then it felt like, I don't know what I was doing wrong. I was getting looped around. I'd, you know, click on get and then something and then something else. You know, I click back on iTunes and it was back to get. Anyway, he connected to my computer. And he saw that, one, my screen was sideways, which I don't really care, but, you know, people see it, and there's a shortcut for it. I was pressing the shortcut. It was not working. So anyway, he connected my computer. He fixed my orientation on the screen, and he went and installed iTunes for me, which is funny because iTunes, a lot of companies will not do things that are not, like, say, for Microsoft, that are not Microsoft or, you know, who would do Word or this, but no, he installed iTunes for me, fixed the orientation, and really nice guy, and helped me out a lot.
If anybody wants that recording, I recorded all that. I did not do it live, but if anybody wants it, or if you think it's comprehensive and good enough to put up in the on the site someplace, you know, you can certainly have it.
I would like to have it.
That might not be a bad thing for us to put up on the items of interest under the help section. So if you're willing to give it to Terry and we can put up.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I just kind of threw it together this morning. So, but I think it turned out okay for as quickly as I put it together.
Oh, you did a great job on that, Mar. I was fiddling around with my eyes the other day, and I was taking a picture of something, and then I flicked one more time, and it said history. And then I flicked again, and it's like the last picture I took, the picture before that, and all these pictures are still in there. And then it would say, oh, okay, this is what you took Friday. So then it went to Friday, and then it's like, man, I never did find the end of that. So I don't know how long that's been there, but I think that's really kind of cool.
Boy, Parker, remember how I was kicking and screaming when I first got my iPhone? And now I'm able to do that.
Yeah, it's funny how much you grow when you get used to it and start using it. I thought the iPhone was the last phone in the world that we were going to be able to use, since I was so tactile. All my phones always had buttons on it. And that is cool, Cheryl, especially if you took something and you want to go back and maybe show somebody, or instead of going and trying to find the thing again and retake a picture, like say if you want to cook something again, or I don't know, whatever, something you looked at and you want to look at it again. I wonder if that's online, or there must be a way to delete some of those. Cause I'm assuming I might take a lot of memory, I think, after a while.
I was the same way, Mar. I thought, am I ever going to be able to use this thing? Now I'm flicking all over the place with it.
Well, the first iDevice I ever got was an iPad. And I sat down with it, and Chris had turned VoiceOver on, and I was looking at it, and it's like, I have no idea what to do with this. So I was like, well, I put it down, and I said, well, I just spent $1,000 on something I can't use. But I went and found some podcasts and got, you know, a little clues about, you know, what to do. And before you know it, I was like, okay, I got it.
I think the first iPhone I had was, I believe it was the iPhone 3. Boy, they sure did change a lot since then. A lot different.
Yeah, they've gotten a lot better and stuff. Back then, they didn't even have Siri. That recording, yeah, it'd be cool to put on the site, or even put it out in the, I forget the name of this group, iOS group, whatever, email. Shoot, I forgot what I was going to say. Oh, you mentioned podcast. I used to listen to it. I don't know why I stopped listening to it, but it was a pretty good podcast. I think it was called Apple Bites. It was pretty good. They would just talk anything Apple kind of stuff.
Well, Blind Abilities used to be use these little quick bites, one out Apple. And those were really good. Your little short tutorials about, you know, different things you want to do on the iPhone. So those are very helpful. So if anybody wants to explore that more, you go to blindabilities.com. And you never know, you might find a podcast that I actually hosted. At one time, I used to be a reporter for them. When I went to conventions, I would interview different people. So I'm on there here and there.
Well, the first phone I had was a 6S. And I got the book from National Braille Press for, what was that, iOS 9, I guess. I guess it was. And so I first studied how to use it from reading something in Braille. And then I went on the Hadley site, and they had both long, like 1 hour sessions. And then they also had them broken down into categories, because they would take four things and talk about them in the hour. And then they had them broken down in categories. And they were very well done. I don't know if Hadley is still doing that or not. But boy, when they did, that was an excellent way for me to learn, as well as reading the book from National Braille Press. But boy, we've come a long way since iOS 9.
Oh, man, have we ever. I know Hadley recently changed their website from edu to hadleyhelps.com. I think.
Yeah, they did. And they seem to be focusing more on people that are losing vision later in life and helping them with various ways of adjusting to that. So I don't know if they've archived a lot of that older stuff, because that was done. I think I got my phone back in 2016 or something like that. Yeah, 2015 or 2016. So whether they've archived all of that stuff, I don't know. But boy, it was done. The person who did it, you know, had the phone right there and showed you what it was supposed to sound like when you did different things. And but yes, their Hadley helps.
All right. Does anybody have any questions about having trouble with doing something on their iPhone that they'd like help with? Because there's a lot of experts in here today.
I'm having the problem with, since I did the last update, where if a message is a little longer, it stops. It doesn't read the whole thing right out. Or on your notification that you have a message, it'll say, maybe so-and-so sent you a long message. What is that about?
I have not encountered that. And maybe so-and-so. No, I've never encountered that. Has anybody got that?
I don't know if you're using the text message or the audio message, but I've had that problem with. I use the voice messages all the time. Send a voice message to so-and-so. If you record anything over a minute, I get an error. And if I get a message, ask Siri to play the message. If it goes over a minute, it cuts off. I can play it, but I have to go into my messages and manually play it in there. I don't know if that's similar to what you have, but I can be talking long-winded, of course. And so then I'll say send it, and they'll go making all kinds of little sounds, little ditty sounds and stuff. And that tells me it's sorry that there's an error or something to that effect.
Well, I get messages that says so-and-so is sending you a long message, which I like because they get it all in. But I don't know how to do that for me to send a long message, because it usually cuts me off. Well, it can cut me off from anywhere to 4 to 10 words.
I'm not 100% sure of this, but I think you're limited to the telling the S woman. And when you're dictating to it, I think that's where the limitations come in. I think you can sit and type as much as you want. It's the dictation part where you may have a problem. And I have started getting those texts that say so-and-so is maybe leaving you a lengthy message or something to that effect. And that's actually a lot easier for me than sitting there and listening to pieces, bits and pieces of the message, because that's been going on. When you first set messages up, you could say how much preview you wanted, and that's where most of the time it was cut off. Now it just tells you got a lengthy message, and that makes it much nicer.
I don't know if this is what you're running into or not, but since this last update, Siri has started summarizing the messages. She'll give you a summary. And then my phone will ask me, "Did you read the entire message?" And I'll say, "Yes," and then she'll read the entire message. I don't know if that's what you're running into or something else.
I have not gotten the lengthy message one. I have gotten with Facebook where somebody has sent you a message instead of reading it to me. And, shoot, I was going to say something else.
Well, sometimes when you're reading a text message, the screen will just close. It'll just stop. And you have to open it again. Or you know, if you're reading it from the notifications. Now, again, maybe that's a setting that I need to change or something, but it just, the screen stops. And yes, when you dictate a message too, you have to really talk. You have to really talk fast, or I don't know. That varies. Sometimes I can get a long message in there and she doesn't stop me at all. What I wish it would do, and maybe it does and I don't know it, say you start a message and she'll cut you off and she'll say, "Would you like me to send it?" And I say, "No." I wish you could add. Because what it's cutting off is something you still want to put in that message, you know, next to what you've already got there. And the only thing she'll read back is the thing that you added, not the, and I'll say, "Read entire message." And it's just, she reads what you added, not the entire thing.
Yeah, with the notifications on a lock screen, it does not stay on very long if you have your screen set to lock. I know Cheryl doesn't do that, but I do. Like, I still have the buttons. I could put my thumb on the home button. It'll unlock, but I won't go to the home screen. I'm still on a, you know, AKA lock screen. And that's only on for like 5 seconds. So, yeah, if it's a long message, it'll shut down on you. And long messages, I agree. I prefer the longer messages because I hate when some people get a whole bunch of little messages, especially if you're there and you're listening and you're trying to respond. And my buddy will say, like, "Hey, Hank, send. How's it going? Send. I'm thinking about practice on Tuesday. Send. What time is good? Send." And every time I try to read, like, what he's saying, he's like, "Ping, ping, ping," and the focus is jumping. And so I just lock the phone, put it down, and I'm like, wait a while till all the ping stop, and then I go and listen to them all.
That would drive me crazy. It's a short trip.
Well, I don't really have any trouble because I'm always got my Bluetooth. If anytime I need to do a little, a lot of text, I have a hard time getting my thoughts together enough to use Siri to send a message. Every now and then I can do it. But for the most part, I think as I type. So I'm better doing that, and I never have any issues. The issues that I have is finding the send button. It's like, okay, where is it? So that's the main issue that I have with text.
Oh, do I have the key? I didn't hear the key up sound. If I do, it's usually on the right in the middle. Thinking if I had the key, messed me up. Oh, the dictation, or when you're telling Siri to send a message. I believe there's a setting. I don't remember what it was called. It's been a while. Where you can length it. I think it's the length and the pause. Because it's not about speaking fast. If you put a pause, you know, if you say, hey, Cheryl, how's it going? That little pause in between those two, she'll stop and say, are you ready to send it? And there's a way to lengthen how long she waits before she cuts you off.
Yeah, I had to set mine to lengthen that. I can't remember where it was. I think somebody in here told me, and I wouldn't change it, and I can't remember where it was.
I think it was under Steery, but can you say, when it says, are you ready to send it, can you then say, continue message? Will it pick up where you left off, or you just, you have to send it, or fish or cut bait?
There is a way of doing it. You can say edit message, or there's certain words that you can say. I wish there was somewhere, at least I don't have them, a list of things you can say, because you can replace, say the wrong word. Or, yeah, I don't like the way that, where you could say replace party with celebration, or amend. I think you can say amend message, and then I think you continue saying something. And I think it's under Siri. Forget. Oh, I know what I was going to say. I don't know where my brain is today. I think when I first joined this group, there was an email that went out about how to lengthen Siri to wait while you talk longer. But that's really, probably really deep in my email.
Does anybody know if there's a way to get Siri to respond to more than one person? So I can't do the Hey Siri because I had it set to Wayne's voice, because if I'm not near my phone and the phone rings and he's near it, he can answer it for me. But now I have to push the button to get the Siri. So is there any way you can add a voice to Siri? Does anybody know?
You might try resetting it. Because you said before you set it up for Wayne's voice, it wouldn't listen to him then, right? Only you? Because I don't believe I ever set mine up in a sense to recognize only my voice. I've set Siri up, but I think anybody can... most anybody can use my Siri.
One of the things that I heard this morning from someone who is beta testing the next level up, what is it, 18.5 or something, is that the keyboard on your screen for many different programs is hidden. And so they're saying, don't update right away, because there's a bug. They've got to work out of that, because you can't, the keyboard is not there if you want to type messages or whatever.
I did see somebody on Facebook saying that even though the keyboard is visible, it is not allowing you to enter on it. I can only assume it's because that's a developer beta 2. I strongly advise people not to do that just yet.
Especially for us, since we're blind, they definitely recommend not doing beta testing on your main device. If you have a secondary or older phone, or two phones, and one's one to play with, or maybe an iPad, to do the beta testing, because it breaks a lot of stuff. So, and we rely too much on our phones to do that, I think, anyway.
I even wait sometimes after it's out of beta. Just wait a week or two just to, you know, monitor email lists and what other people are experiencing or whatever. Because a lot of times, even though they suggest that there's a problem with beta, it doesn't get fixed right away.
Yeah, that's the one thing with me. I have done it with my iPads. I have two. And my iMac, I have one, but I do not put beta on my phone, because that's my main device, and if it goes off, then I have a problem.
Parker, did you read that article about that David Goldfield sent out about WhatsApp able to do your banking, or you can do your banking through WhatsApp?
No, I didn't, Cheryl.
It says, for people that don't really good afternoon, welcome in. It's for people that are not real tech savvy, which is pretty much me, and using their bank, but it's, I don't know, I read the stuff, something about you have to put the bank's WhatsApp official number in your contacts and then set it up that way. But it sounded pretty complicated to me.
I don't know if I'd trust it. I don't know. I just, when it has to do with banking, I have my doubts sometimes.
I'll have to go back and read it. I saved it, but I didn't read it.
I'd be real hesitant, only because so often I hear people saying, oh, if you guys get something from me, from Facebook or WhatsApp or Messenger or whatever, I've been hacked, so don't answer it. And I'm thinking, if that was my bank account in there, I don't think I'd be very happy right now.
I don't think your bank account's actually on there. I think it just can... I'm not sure how it works, but you know what? Now that I think about it, WhatsApp is a part of Facebook, and you're right. I don't know that I would go there.
Welcome, Ellie.
Yeah, I don't know about everybody. I know my bank has its own specific app, and I use that, but I sure wouldn't use a public platform. Maybe I'm paranoid, but I don't think I am.
You're not alone.
Yeah, I've often wondered about that too. My bank has its own app, and I have not used it. And I know people say, "Oh, it's so easy to, if you're wanting them to make out a check or something for you, and all this other kind of stuff." But I don't know. I'm very skeptical of a lot of things, and yet there's a part of me that says, "Well, if it's going to make it easier." I don't know. Do you all use banking, your own banking apps more than since I don't use it at all?
Well, I try to, but I keep running into, you know, roadblocks. So I'm gonna, next time I go to the bank, I'm gonna say, look, you need to help me with this. I think once I get past the login problem, you know, setting up the account, because it wants to verify that it's me, and I do everything it says to do that, but then it takes me around in circles. Just like what Hank was talking about earlier with that, trying to download iTunes. It would do the same thing to me, to the point where I'd hit my frustration wall and I'd have to quit.
I use the Chase Bank app all the time, and I have pretty good success with it. The only thing I can't do independently is it has a thing where you can deposit checks. And I can't do that independently because you have to endorse it, of course, and then you have to take a picture of it. And I'm not good at focusing the camera to where I take a picture, an accurate picture of it. And then you have to write on it like for deposit only or something. It gives you all these instructions, but I just can't do it independently. But I can do everything else. I can look up balances. I can get my statements and print them out because my iPhone is connected to the network and connected to my printer. So I can do all that.
Yeah, the depositing is kind of difficult for a lot of us folk with little to no vision. And also, Cheryl, I don't know about your bank, but some banks actually have phone numbers you can call instead. I think Chase is one of them. I don't know about my bank. I think you can call and do certain things, but for the most part, if I'm going to deposit or if I'm going to take funds out, I don't even go to an ATM machine because I just don't trust. So many of them out here got skimmers in them now, and you don't have any idea where your funds are going. So I walk into the branch. And unfortunately, that's not even as easy as it used to be.
Maybe the ATM inside the bank, you know, like instead of going up to teller, that you could do that. Then you need your headset. I don't know if you do Bluetooth nowadays. Everybody's got Bluetooth. My brain today. Deposit.
I have never used an ATM, and I'm like you, Mike. I don't trust them. I won't even use a credit card at a gas station. I'll give the person cash. Go, pay for it. And they don't really like doing that, but it's like, I don't trust them because you hear about those skimmers on those all the time. Or if they want to use the card, I say, go inside and use the card. Don't use it at the pump. And then I'll go into the bank to make any withdrawals that I need, if I need cash or something like that. But I'm very skeptical of any ATMs. But I do have phone service. Like, I can call my bank and I can look at my balance and I can transfer funds and I can do transactions. But what I want to know is I want the details. It's like, oh, what was that $23.75 for? It just says, you know, whether it's a debit or something like that. I want more details, and that's why I'm kind of leaning toward trying to fight with this app to get it going.
I can call my bank. They have a number you can call, and I can get balance and transactions, and if there's a particular check, like your $23 and whatever, I can say that's what I'm looking for, and they'll bring it up and tell me what it was for. But anyway, if I've got a phone number, I'm okay. But if I've got to do it over my iPhone, probably in trouble. And I'm glad to know that a lot of you don't use ATM. I thought it was just because I was so antiquated.
And that's what I was going to say. The deposit checks thing, yeah, I use my bank a lot for everything but the deposit checks, which I don't do very often. I'll have a friend or something help me with that. Speaking of running into roadblocks and stuff, Mark just gave a thing. Maybe you could use the Be My Eye, see if your bank is in there. See if they can help you that way. And then most banks have a phone number you can call. I mean, sometimes not even accessibility, but if you want to find out what things are about. And usually when you set up an account, especially an online account, they'll either give you a 4-digit code or a name, like a password. So when you call in, they know it's you. So, you know, they say, okay, so what's your password? I'll just use my sister's old dog, Daisy. And, and then they'll be able to help you out and stuff. But I don't do a lot with my banking. I look up the balances. I can transfer from, like, checking and savings and back and forth. I don't really write checks or anything anymore. I pay everything with my credit card. And then once a month, and I actually do it through my credit card app, I send one big payment to my credit card and pay it off in full.
Well, I write 2 checks a month, but I know what they are just based on the amount. So that's not an issue. But, you know, like if I buy something from Amazon, I want to know it's from Amazon or Walmart. I want to know it's from Walmart. I don't know why they can't integrate that particular feature into the telephone banking, because it would sure be nice.
Yeah, that's why I'm kind of a big fan of Apple Pay. I can always go and see what little amounts are. I get a notification whenever I've made purchases, but I can always go into the history and see, okay, what was that?
I know, of course, I do mine on the computer most of the time. I've never really used the phone. I have to play around with it, so I do have the app. But I just click on checking or my account number for checking. I have a different number for each account. And I can either click on that or savings, and click on that. And it shows all the transactions. It tells where it's from, New York State Electric and Gas. It'll tell me the check number, or it'll tell me the amount. And, you know, how much the bill was or whatever. So it's pretty good, but I'll have to check it on the phone.
Well, like you, Mar, I have Chase as well. And I use their telephone banking thing to pay my credit card and to read the balances and transactions, even though I do get my statements in Braille from them. So, but sometimes if I want to know something before the Braille gets here, or to just make sure that I got my deposits of my pension and Social Security and things like that, I go on their phone line, and it's very easy to use. But I have never used an ATM machine, and I have never used their app. And you're right about taking pictures. I've seen my brother do it, and I think, oh wow, you know, I would never be able to get that camera focused just right, I don't think. And then you got to take, I think, pictures of both sides of the check or something or other. So, but their phone banking system is good. You have to use, you used to be able to set up a username and password, and they changed that to now you have to type in one of your account numbers to get into it. So they've changed that a little bit, but other than that, it works very well.
I don't know why it is that everything's got to have its own app. I'm like Terry. I do my banking just on my computer, but you know, everything says, you know, you can download the app, and Facebook, download the app. Everything has an app now. That's, I don't know what really the difference is, but I sort of like to do mine on the computer too.
I've never been really tech savvy on the computer, and frankly, it kind of scares me to do it on the computer. I don't know why I feel like it's more secure in the app, which it probably isn't, but it gives me a sense of security doing it on the app. But, you know, like if you can work out the... I think once I get logged into it, I'm not going to have a problem, because once upon a time when I had the iPad, I was able to go into the app. Of course, I didn't set it up. I had help doing it. So I'm not sure. I wonder if Ira would be able to help me with that, because they have a feature, and this is cool. Anybody that uses Ira, they can't, there's a thing on the app, on the Ira app, where you can have them share, you can share your screen with the agent, and they can watch your screen as you're flicking through the options. And they can, like, I had to sign a document, and I just wasn't getting it. So they were directing me, okay, right there, go ahead, you know, double tap right there. And I wasn't really on an audible link, but they were able to help me do that. So I'm wondering if I could utilize Ira for something like that to get into that banking app.
Yeah, the Ira people are specially trained and bonded and so forth. I have to say, I don't think I'd use Be My Eyes for something like that, though, for when you have just volunteers.
Well, the one thing that I'm really paranoid about, but I do it anyway because it is so handy, is to use the VD scan to read mail. And it can be anything from, you know, bills that I'm still getting on paper or things like that. And, you know, that I know everybody says, well, you never know if that's going out on the internet and all of that. And yet, because I am here by myself and I'm not going to get somebody to come here every day to read the mail or leave the mail sit around or whatever, I do it and it works well, but I do get very scared about how much is that being saved. And I can't really say that I've had any kind of problems in terms of, you know, There was one time where I got the notice that your social security number's on the dark web, and I froze my credit card on all three of those sites. But I don't know. That's the one thing that bothers me, is here we have all these tools that make things easy for us to do stuff by ourselves, but at the same time, you got to worry about how much of that can be easily hacked.
I use VDScan myself. I just never save the documents. As far as being out on the web, I seriously doubt it. But, I read with VDScan just to look and see what my mail is all the time.
VDScan is one of the best mail reading apps I have encountered. I mean, it's almost flawless. And I don't believe it does go on the internet because it has a built-in OCR. So I think it's optical recognition. I don't think it is going out on the internet to do that. So I think you're pretty safe with that.
I use VDScan all the time.
Well, that makes me feel better because I do. I can do a lot of stuff with that. And some of the documents, it'll ask you if you want to keep it. We get a lot of memos and things here about activities, and so that I can throw the paper away, I will keep it. But I'm thinking, okay, it's keeping it on my phone and not going anywhere else until I delete it. If it's something I read once and say, all right, I know that, I don't need to worry about that anymore, then yes, I discard it right away. So, you know, I'm really hoping, because that is such a wonderful thing for people to be able to use. And, you know, you'd hate to think that something that's so easy and so good for us is something that can make us victims, you know?
Well, I think it's wise to be cautious, but I think it's, I won't say unrealistic, but you just can't be afraid of everything all the time. And a lot of us just are not in a situation where we can be dependent on somebody else with eyes to come in and read things. And then when you think about it, how do we know we can trust them? So you just have to have a lot of blind faith and think this is life and we got to get through it.
Do you guys remember the day when you had to take your mail anywhere where there was sighted people to try to find out what you got in the mail? I can remember taking my mail to work when I worked in the hospital and just trying to get somebody, you know, do you have a minute? Can you tell me what this is? Oh my gosh. And you had to give up your whole privacy. I hated doing that. So to have something like this, to be able to keep everything private, and it's very empowering.
In those days were horrible. You had to have somebody help you with bills and everything.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy, I hated that.
So right now, our state is working on this accessible absentee ballot. And the way it's set up right now, if you want to do that, is that you can fill it out online and then print it. And whether you request that from your city clerk, that they send you an envelope or whatever to put it in, and you have to sign the envelope. Now, is that something IRA, I'm just kind of new to IRA, is that something they could help you do if you set it up so they could, with the camera, they could see the whole idea is privacy, but, and I think it's only the envelope. I don't know if you have to sign the printed out ballot itself. You know, again, people are worried about, well, it's my right to have a secret ballot like everybody else, but how far does IRA go with stuff like that?
I haven't found the limit to it. There is no limit to what they can do. I've had them do all kinds of stuff, to activating, you know, help me activating a credit card, to, you know, helping me sign documents. I haven't found the limit to them. They are incredible.
Cheryl, how do you, and I know you have gone through this, I'm sure. How do you get signed up with IRA? Like, how could I get signed up with IRA?
Their website is IRA, A-I-R-A, IRA.io. But I can probably send you something if you're interested in getting hooked up with them. Give you a phone number that you can call. So I'll look into that. Is a phone number good for you?
Phone number is always great for me.
Okay, I will do that.
Yeah, that's what I did. Since you get 5 minutes free, I went on the app, and there was an area where they showed you the phone number, and I called them to sign up. Yeah, and it's very easy. They're very, very nice. You can ask them all sorts of questions about what they'll do and stuff like that. So, yeah.
You know, I didn't realize that's the way it was spelled. I thought it was just IRA, but it's A-I-R-A.
Yeah, it stands for The Rock, and the first CEO, Suman, I can't pronounce his last name, but he was the one that came up with the name, and they are, like I said, that amazing, and they still have the Walmart offer intact, so if you want to use, like when I use IRA to do Walmart shopping, I just make a list, and I call an agent, they sign into my account, and they apply the Walmart offer so it doesn't go against my minutes. So there's all kinds of ways that you can save minutes. You can join the Building AI program that also will give you 10 minutes. I don't remember how often, but it is a great program. And all the agents are pretty incredible.
I'm sorry, I'm back. I had gotten a phone call. So you're talking IRA now?
How dare you get a phone call during this iPhone user's group bank?
I have a question about iCloud. I keep getting all of these things. I get it on my computer and I get it on my phone too, that I need to buy cloud time, or they're going to give me cloud time because I have totally run out. Can you give me some input on that?
It's called iCloud, and I think I pay 99 cents a month. So basically what it is you're buying more storage for your phone, and so when it backs all your apps up to the cloud. So they only give you so much for free, and then you have to pay for it. So I went ahead and did it. I paid 99 cents a month, and you can pay through the App Store. I think there's a link on the actual settings in iCloud where you can sign up for that or get more storage.
I got a notice that mine had run out or used up all mine. And I just followed the email prompts to go do it. I can't remember exactly how, because I remember Cheryl told us about it was only 99 cents a month. I said, shoot, it's worth it for all the extra space you get.
Yeah, 99 cents isn't too bad. I believe you open up settings, and when you click on your name there, where it says your name, and there's just like your iCloud, your storage, this, that, and the other. I think if you go under iCloud, there's a way to subscribe for it. They give you 5 gigs for free and the 99 cents. And they got other plans. You can go higher. But yeah, then there's not enough room to back up all your storage and stuff. $0.99 a month will give you 50 gigs instead of 5 gigs per month. And usually that's enough. And every so often you can go in, every time you back up your phone, it kind of saves a few backups. I don't know if it's all of them, or then you can maybe the older ones, you can go in there and delete them and save some room that way.
Okay, that's great. No, $0.99. I'd buy almost anything if it's $0.99 a month.
And that message will go away forever, Susie. It'll be worth it just not to have that message anymore, right? All right, well, it's coming up to the top of the hour, which means the end of this users group meeting for today. But good news is, 2 weeks from today, we'll do it all over again. This was very enlightening and educational. Thank you, Mar. Thank you, Hank. And I just really appreciate all the participation today. Everybody have a great afternoon.